It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Time for the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by MyBookie. You want to get a little Monday Night Football action tonight? Head on over to MyBookie.ag. Place your bets. Play, win, get paid, Barrett.
Number 1, it is game week, Russell.
Game week.
Tennessee returns to the field of play Saturday night in Columbia, South Carolina, where I expect us to vigorously and furiously beat the Cox.
Wow. It is a 7, is it 7 o'clock or 7:30 kickoff? Should know this.
7:30 kickoff.
And our boy, Taylor Zarzur, in the booth. What is Taylor up to now, Trey?
9-0.
Undefeated. Never lost. Go ahead and chisel it in stone. Lock it down. It's the Stone Cold Crack Pipe Lock of the Week. Vols to cover. 3 points. Are you kidding me, my bookie? That's easy money. That's easy money. I'll take the 10 bucks I took off Trey Wallace yesterday and put that on the Vols. Easy. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
All righty. Number 2. While the NFL offered a slate of exciting games yesterday, it wasn't without problems. There was a rash of season-ending injuries to some of the NFL's top stars. I'm going to run down the list here, just the highlights of it. Nick Bosa, expected torn ACL, done for the year. Saquon Barkley, running back, New York Giants, torn ACL, done for the year. Big-time talent. Christian McCaffrey, high ankle sprain. Injury will keep McCaffrey out for several weeks, but doctors are worried it's going to drastically impact the rest of the season, whether he's on the field or not. Drew Lock, quarterback, Denver Broncos, sprained his shoulder. This is crazy. Cortland Sutton, tore an ACL. Wide receiver, Denver. Garoppolo, high ankle sprain, same as McCaffrey. And just the list goes on and on, Russ.
Should we not be terribly surprised after you have a shortened offseason with no preseason games, I'm guessing a little bit less contact than they're used to? Or, you know, it seems like that's why they have all that contact, is to prevent injuries, right?
I don't know, because what leads directly into number 3, which is interesting. The NFL is set to investigate MetLife Stadium turf following the rash of injuries during the 49ers-Jets game. Jets game yesterday. The Niners had complained about the turf after the win.
Yeah, but I think I saw Adam Schefter reported that the players that played on it in the – what was the Monday night game? The Jets and the – or no, it was the Steelers and the Giants.
Giants.
And none of those players. So, I mean, I'm guessing it was the same
field, right? It looks like, reading into this story, I mean, if you look at who all they got lost during that game, Nick Bosa, Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Solomon Thomas all suffered leg injuries. Niners defensive lineman Eric Armstead is one of many who blame the injuries on the turf. He tweeted out, at NFL, fix this trash MetLife turf. Kyle Shanahan agreed with Armstead, and then it goes on to say, apparently, the NFL is also very suspect of the conditions at MetLife. The NFL Field Operations Department is investigating the MetLife turf.
Could it be something, just spitballing here, where, I mean, it looked really hot yesterday up there for that game. Could it, like, the turf heats
no,
up?
No, it's a new surface. The new turf was installed during the off season.
Well, then why wasn't anybody complaining about the Monday night game?
I don't know. Maybe because there weren't, let's see, on one field, it looks like you had, what, 3 ACLs, a hamstring, and an Achilles, maybe?
Yeah, but that same field yielded no injuries 5 nights beforehand, 6 nights beforehand.
I don't know. I mean,
and the Jets are
it's enough of a question where the NFL is going to investigate it.
Okay.
So,
be interesting to see what they what they find. I'm just a little skeptical of it. I mean, it seems it's awful. I hate it for the 49ers players, but it doesn't make any sense to say that, you know, there have been four teams play on that field and one team out of four had it. Just seems like a fluke coincidence to me, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. And finally, number four, the Drive's own Bryson DeChambeau destroyed, just overpowered Wingfoot to capture his first major as he won the U.S. Open yesterday. And I think he finished up as the only player under par.
It's kind of a fitting conclusion to a weird season. I know we still have the Masters and FedEx Cup and all that stuff, but that feels like it almost feels like a one-off type thing, the Masters in November, right? That felt like the end of the 2020 golf season proper. And Bryson DeChambeau has been the story. He's been the guy that's taken the tour by storm and to win his first major in dominant fashion in a really tough course. And when they said, oh, you know, the bombers aren't going to win, it's going to be the precision players and everything, and he, whatever, and just came out there and bombed his way to his first major. There you have it. Top four at four. It's brought to you by MyBookie. I'm in a fantasy dilemma. It's what the seedy underside of fantasy football. I'm nursing a 31-point fantasy lead. I know. It's also fascinating, right? But I'm done with 103 points. I got a 31-point lead. My opponent tonight has the Saints defense and special teams and Alvin Kamara. I hate it, man. I hate having to watch Monday Night Football. Maybe I just won't watch.
Playing out there at the Death Star.
I hate having to watch and pull against one of my all-time faves. I hate it. But maybe he'll have a big game, and I'll get to enjoy it, but not too big. He's only projected to get 13 points. That wouldn't do it. That wouldn't do it. And this will be the first game tonight in they're calling it the Death Star. That's an awesome nickname for an awesome stadium.
Yeah. Apparently Gruden doesn't really like it, though.
I could see that.
Or the Saints will take care of that Death Star tonight. Don't worry about that.
They're going to find the reactor switch. Think about the Death Star. You be careful you nickname your stadium the Death Star, because didn't Luke Skywalker and company blow that thing up at the end of the of Episode 4? As I recall, Obi-Wan Kenobi guided him in there. They zapped it, got away. Boom. No more Death Star. I'm afraid you'll find the Death Star is quite operational. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You want to jump in. It is game week. Jeremy Pruitt, the Vols, back out on the practice field this afternoon, getting ready for South Carolina in Columbia Saturday evening. A must-win game. No excuses. This is year three. They've got a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. Their star freshman running back's already blown out his ACL. You guys can't name me two South Carolina skill players. Nobody can. You go in there, you punch them in the nose. You beat them. That's what you do. That's my position anyway. What's yours? Let's get Phil in here. Phil, you're on the Drive, Fan Run Radio.
What do you say, W?
Philly.
What's going on?
Man, It is game week. It's a special time of year.
You got off at Oyer High yet?
I mean, we're just getting started, man. To get off the high. I mean, I just took the first hit. We got to smoke this thing down.
Like Trey kind of calmed down a little bit, which is probably good. Get the show talked about the real football, Tennessee football. You know, Tennessee hasn't done nothing in 20 years. They've done more than the Oilers ever will do.
Well, that's not true.
That is true.
That's not true. You don't know that. Do you have a crystal ball? Are you a fortune teller, Phil?
I think we won a national championship in 98. All the Oilers do.
Okay.
Yard short.
Are you some sort of wizard? Are you a soothsayer? Can you see the future?
Well, you see, now you see, you've got Buffalo's 2-0, you got the Oilers 2-0, and you got the Kansas City Chiefs 2-0. Is that the three best teams in the AFC?
It's two of them. I don't know what the Bills are doing, but
think that the Titans are as good can play with Kansas City at Arrowhead in the championship game?
They were the two best teams in the AFC last year.
And what happened?
The Chiefs won. They're a great team.
And I laid them.
They won the game decisively, yes.
Yes. Now, I want to ask Trey about the Cade Mays. When are we going to get a final resolution on this?
I think Tennessee's behind Kentucky and Ole Miss right now. So, I think the SEC has to rule on them two first when they rule on Tennessee. So, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt expects it this week, but Mark Stoops last week said he expected it last week and it didn't happen. So, I don't know, man.
Well, isn't that amazing? It's just amazing.
I mean, it's not like they've had all summer to think about these cases. Has there been some new information come to light over the past week? Like, the SEC should have been ready for when the NCAA made its decision to announce its decision, whichever way they decide. But they should have been ready to go immediately, Thursday, Friday, whenever it was last week the NCAA announced their decision.
So Tennessee's the three-point favorite. I guess talent-wise, we probably got an advantage of them. If Gilmore don't lose the game, we ought to be able to win it, shouldn't we?
We've got a slight talent advantage. It's not overwhelming. It's enough to win, but in the college football that I've watched, it just seems like the teams that are losing are the teams that are they're trying to do too much. And if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm Jim Chaney, I'm looking at. I mean, Georgia Tech, perfect example, right? They go down to Tallahassee and beat Florida State a week ago. Come back home, and I know Central Florida's a nice program and everything, but they got boat raced in their own house pretty much by Central Florida. Come up, don't put it too much on your quarterback's shoulders. Hand the ball to your sensational running backs. Run behind your huge offensive line and grind them up.
Well, that's all dandy and good, but Muschamp's going to put 8 or 9 in the box and make Gilmore beat him. Well, he's going to blitz. You got to be ready for that blitz.
Yeah, I think that they'll probably do that. You're right, and he's going to have to make one-on-one plays. He showed he could make those towards the end of last year. Can he do it again? We'll find out. But I make South Carolina show they can stop it before I – put the game in Garantano's hands.
I would say that after watching high school football Friday and Saturday, that Powell's got the best team in Knoxville.
Boy, that was impressive Saturday.
It was impressive. I think Powell could beat Maryland.
Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, West may have the best quarterback.
Dream on, Bear. See,
wing it.
Wow.
What'd he say?
He said, dream on, Bear, see ya. And then he hung up abruptly.
He's a clod. I'm sorry, man. I don't know. I know there's some good ones here in town. I was really impressed with West's quarterback.
We'll select our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week coming up a little bit later in hour number 3. Of the show this afternoon. Some standout performances once again throughout the area. I want to thank North Knox Siding Windows was up there earlier today, shooting the breeze with the boys up there. Picked up do these trophies for the players. It's pretty cool. Drew doesn't know this, but I'm going to get him to go deliver those to the schools. He doesn't have anything to do.
What?
I'll throw you some gas money. It's all right.
You have to shoot a video too, handing the award over.
Yeah. the schools will call an assembly when you get there,
yes.
And you get to walk out on stage in front of 2,000 high school kids and present the award on behalf of Fan Run Radio and North Knox Siding and Windows to the young man. And then you interview him on national television.
National television, meaning the local news networks here in town.
Yes. BYU quarterback Zach Wilson and some of his teammates contracted COVID-19 after they got together for a, quote, gambling night. He said they felt symptoms of a few days. Is that okay with the Mormons? Can you have a gambling night at BYU?
No, that's against the rules. That's honor code violation. That's why I'm surprised he admitted that. That's an honor code violation.
Yeah, well, I didn't just say you're at game night or something, a gambling night.
I hope he said game night and they misquoted him. What would gambling night be like on a Mormon campus?
I mean, I'm guessing it's the normal stuff. It's just, you know, those kids drink and party and all that stuff, right? They just you got to be smart about it. Who is the guy, Kyle Van Noy, I think, with the Patriots all those years? He went to – have you – read up on his story. It's really interesting. Like, he was –
he go to BYU?
Yeah, and he was a party animal in high school, and he – I think he got kicked out of school once and got arrested a couple of times, and Bronco Mendenhall, I think, was the coach there at the time and just kind of stuck with him. Gave him chance after chance, and guess he turned out all right. Of course, Jim McMahon – I don't think leading the most celibate and, shall we say, conservative lifestyle.
No, he's at BYU. He's fairly notorious.
Feds are wishing Liam Gallagher a happy birthday, Bear. How old is your rock and roll idol?
He'd be, what, 48 this year?
Really? He's only 8 years older than me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Aging gracefully, our kid is.
Tennessee had a decommitment over the weekend. We'll talk about that coming up here on your Rocky Top Report presented by the Kregner Group here in just a minute. How about my boy Jakob Johnson getting in the end zone last night for the Patriots?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Besides the fact that the Seahawks, almost blew it. I mean, they went for it like third and one. They should have ran the ball.
I had that game on in the background, and I saw Chris Carson catch that late touchdown pass. I was like, well, this game's over. And then went back to fiddling around on my laptop and look up, and all of a sudden the Patriots are right there on the goal line, the chance to punch it in and win the game. Something about those Patriots and Seahawks games, it's always going to come down to some wacky play on the goal line.
Yeah, I was impressed. Cam looks like he's pretty much almost all the way back. I know he came up short on that last play, but it's like this has really been a good move for him career-wise.
I mean, he looks – I've seen both their games now. He looks about like he did at Carolina. They're playing a pretty conservative style with him. I don't think he – maybe they open it up a little bit later, but you can't run the ball as much as they if they insist. I think he ran 15 times last week and at least a dozen or so times last night. Keep doing that. He's going to have the same problems he's had the past 10 years, staying healthy.
But Brady seemed to get back on track down there at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm about over Brady. I got him in fantasy, too. I'm going to have to get rid of him.
I'm trying to trade him. I got Derek Carr on my bench.
He's not doing anything, man, in fantasy. It's been disappointing.
Yeah, he stinks. So I'm thinking of picking up Jared Goff.
Let's get a quick timeout. Let's get a quick timeout. We'll come back with that Rocky Top report. More of your phone calls on the way as well. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Bo Craigner, the Craigner Group, they do real estate the right way. Check them out online at BoKnowsHouses.com. Tennessee and South Carolina Saturday night in Columbia. Finally, it is game week. Jeremy Pruitt meeting with the media today. Cade Mays, what is his status? Jeremy Pruitt sounding optimistic today about having Big Cade in the lineup on Saturday night. Says, quote, "We've got no indication yet. I'm sure that they will. It just makes too much sense not to. We've planned on having Cade all along be able to play. If you look at what went into the waiver process, it's pretty evident that the young man deserves an opportunity to play." Oh, that was a pretty interesting quote, man. He's basically saying, look, SEC, do the right thing.
He's calling them out.
We're planning on this. And he's right, man. Again, the fact that the SEC has not made a ruling yet is absolutely absurd. And listen, I'll call it both ways. Like I've said all along, the SEC, Greg Sankey's managed this COVID thing better than just about anybody, certainly in college sports, maybe in the sporting world, waiting for all the data, making the right decisions time and time again. But this is ridiculous. The NCAA has made its decision. They've known about this case since back in the summer. They've had plenty of time to investigate, to come up with a plan. They should have been ready to announce their decision one way or the other as soon as the NCAA made theirs. This is absurd. Make a decision. If he can't play, he can't play. Like, we'll go bananas about it, but at least make your decision, right?
Yeah.
I still think he's going to play.
Game week.
I still think he's going to play.
You do?
Yeah. Boy, what a distraction.
I don't know how big of a distraction it is because he's already running with the ones right now. I mean, if something happens, it can slide him in, somebody in to replace him in this spot. I don't see it as that big of a reaction right now. I mean, besides him not knowing.
Yeah, I mean, it's
coaches are still planning, you know, for him to play. If he doesn't play, they'll slip somebody in just like they've done for years in the past.
But if he doesn't play, he's been getting all those first-team reps, I'd imagine.
Right.
Those are reps that they would have liked to have given to whoever does play if he doesn't. So, are they really going to trot JT Shroud out there in the event of you have to go to the backup? He's the backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's the backup. I mean, Pruitt talked about it today, you know, that Harrison didn't get a lot of time to start off camp, and Brian Maurer was kind of dinged up, so they're going to try to give Harrison and Brian some more reps this week to try to make that decision. But JT Shroud, you guys know this, he's done nothing but good things for Tennessee this fall camp, and to be honest with you, I think he's the number two come Saturday night. Now, they did mix up some things at practice on Saturday.
Now, Bear, it's all cute, you know, first, second week of camp. Oh, JT Shroud looks good. He's getting all the second team reps. That's a little different when you get to the season and you know you've got Maurer. You've seen him flash a little in big games and you've got this hot shot in Bailey. It's a little different now that it's game week. It's like, wait a minute. It's like, for real? We're going to JT Shroud. That's the guy?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
I mean, we've heard good reports about him.
I guess we'll find out, huh?
Yeah. I'm a little surprised because about the way they're – I feel like something's happened. Just something's happened. Because all we heard about Bailey was he was lighting it up during practice.
Well, I mean, I
think – splitting reps with
– I think what Trey said was, you know, Maurer's been banged up, missed a lot of time, and Bailey missed a lot of time for the contact tracing. Shroud's been there the whole time, so I think it's kind of a comfort thing.
Jim Chaney said today he's seeing the field better and has more command of the offense. JT has good swag about him and complete confidence. He's got a lockdown mentality. It's according to Jim Chaney at the Knoxville Quarterback Club.
Jeremy Pruitt asked today if he learned anything from the Georgia State debacle last year. He responded, yes, if you turn the ball over five times and only get one turnover, you're not going to win. It doesn't matter if it's the opener or the last game. That's the bottom line, because Jeremy Pruitt said so. Okay, so I added that last part in myself. But turnover's going to be key. Again, sloppy play has been the story, a lot of the story in college football the early weeks. You cannot turn the ball over.
It's critical.
No, you cannot.
Which is another reason I try and what Phil said is true. If Muschamp sticks nine guys in the box, and, I mean, it doesn't matter how good our starting five are, we can't block nine guys. Garantano's going to have to make some plays, but you got to make him do that first, in my opinion. Let's see. What else do we have here on your Rocky Top report? Tyon Evans, the decommitment. JUCO running back, originally from South Carolina. He decommits. Sounds like he might be flipping to the Gamecocks. That's kind of weird.
Sounds like Gamecocks dropped the bag at his mom's place.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, we can't drop a bigger bag than South Carolina. I mean, what's going on here?
Do you really want to waste the money on that bag towards that player?
Good point.
I mean, who says it's a waste of money? The number one JUCO back in the country?
I'm not saying it's a waste of money, but could that money go to other potential players that might be worth it, somebody that maybe is announcing next month?
We are talking mighty cavalier about breaking NCAA rules here on the Rocky Top Report.
No, I just meant like a gear bag of Tennessee athletic gear, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy that when I first saw that story, my initial thought was, well, we probably processed him, right? Like you don't decommit from Tennessee and go to South Carolina. Like, unless they stomp a mud hole in us, I guess maybe that's a little bit different, but that hasn't happened yet. But then looking at some of the message boards and the gurus out there said that's not the case. It sounds like this is a guy Tennessee wants, and was a little bit surprised that this came down the way it did.
Well, we'll see how it ends up. It's a long way to go.
I think some of the biggest news coming out of the weekend was just, you know, how Aubrey Solomon's getting back in the rhythm of things on the defensive line. And also, Terrell Middleton was back out there, but he was still in shorts. He's in that acclimation period. So it looks like he'll be able to go today.
Need your five stars to play like five stars.
Yep. I agree. Karak Garland getting a lot of love. Trevon Flowers had right around three picks on Saturday. So that's a positive. Or maybe it's a – I don't know if that's a positive or not.
Who was playing quarterback when the picks got thrown? That would be my question.
I could tell you that if you like.
Who is it? Yeah, tell me. Restricted play, lawn dart, or Stroud?
One versus ones.
Restricted play.
How does that strike you, Drew?
JG threw four interceptions.
No, not him. All of them.
Well, what is it, Trey? We were just asking you, like, clear it up for us here. We're a little vague.
Yeah.
Trevon Flowers had one pick against the ones, and the rest of them came against.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. That's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our backup, we were just talking about three of them.
But here's the thing: we're talking about practice, right? And Garantano's a fifth year senior.
How you practice is how you play.
Well, maybe you. Maybe you try and you're wearing your black jersey. You're playing against – you've been scrimmaging against your same guys for 5 weeks now. You know that you're not going to get hit. Maybe you try and fit one in a window you wouldn't try in a game. Maybe you try and fit one in there, you know. It gets picked off, and the coach chews you out on the field. Then they show it to you on film. They chew you out again. If this happens in a game, it's going to be your ass. Like that whole thing, you know, and it doesn't happen in the game. because you're a smart young man. It's been through a lot, and you're not going to repeat the same mistakes.
Whatever you say, Russ.
Just give me a nice middle-of-the-road, conservative JG game Saturday. Give me a nice 13 of 21 passing, couple of throwaways. You know, don't try and fit it in the window. Take what's there. Take what the defense gives you. Run the offense. Hand it to Ty Chandler and Eric Gray a bunch. You do that, don't turn the ball over. We get out of there with a nice 10-13 point win.
Couple QB sneaks.
Yeah, sure, why not? Sure, why not? Folks, if you are thinking about making the move this year, you think about picking up, moving the homestead, putting your sights on greener pastures, moving the family to the home of your dreams. Well, you got to get that first home sold first, right, before you can move. Folks, the process starts with a quick call to Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. They'll come over to your house, take a look around, tell you what you need to do to get it ready for that. I mean, that's the thing, right, is you got to get your home ready to sell. That's do that a couple of years, man. It's a process. It's a process. You need a pro on your side guiding you each step of the way. That's Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Call today to set up that free consultation, 865-742-1035. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. That's the phone call, 742-1035. It's free. BoKnowsHouses.com is the website. Check them out there, BoKnowsHouses.com, Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. 865-546-8200 is our phone number if you want to jump in. Lines available for the first time. We're really popping there the first hour or so of the program. We are talking game week, 865-546-8200. If you're just joining us, this is the last chance for Tennessee football. We lose Saturday night. We go Titans Radio, all Titans all the time, right here on Fan Run. We're changing the colors of the logo from gray and orange to two-tone blue. We've already got it mocked up. We're ready to go, just in case. Just in case. I don't think that's going to happen. I hope it's not necessary. But it's been too long, folks. It's time to make some big decisions around here.
This is Tennessee's biggest game of the year.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
You see, we were having this argument with Will and the Overtime Boys, the young lads, the young boys coming here next on Friday. And here's the thing that some of you young whippersnappers don't understand is for us old heads out there, we still look at Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama, Florida being on that same level. I know we haven't been necessarily the last 10 years, but historically speaking, the minute, and this is a big problem, this is why we've been in this hole this past 10 years. The minute you start thinking on the same level as Kentucky is the minute you become Kentucky. You got to keep your mind, you got to keep your eyes on Florida and Georgia, Alabama. I know they've been kicking your teeth in. That's got to be the ultimate goal. The minute you lower that standard, you lower that and we've done that, man. That we've done that. And I think that's why that happened. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly over time. It happens after you have a Derek Dooley and Butch Jones running the show for 8 years. And you got a guy, Jeremy Pruitt, who's used to being at that level, comes in here, and he's looking around like he can't relate. It's a loser mentality. And just like it didn't happen overnight, you know, it doesn't turn around overnight. But, I mean, Trey, we kicked these guys around in our building last year. We beat Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. It's time to, I said earlier, we walk in there this weekend, we beat them, and we don't celebrate, we don't make a big deal. We turn around, come home, and do the same thing next week against Missouri. We've got to get out of this. South Carolina is a big game mentality. I know what you're saying. You're right. Like, It's a big game if you lose it. But we got to get back to, let's get 2-0 and go down to Georgia. That's a big game. That's a big game. This is South Carolina. It's not a big game.
Until they're beaten on a consistent basis and they're not worryful games, then it is that. But I didn't mean it like, you know, when I'm talking about the whole season of games, I mean it like you were talking about, where this is Tennessee's biggest game because they can't start the season 0-1 again. And I know it's against a SEC opponent. It's a lot different than Georgia State or Appalachian State or anything else, but I'm sorry, you can't go 0-1 then have Missouri come to town. I mean, it's just, you can't do it. This game sets the tone for the whole year. It's not like Tennessee's playing Georgia or Florida or Alabama or Auburn this week, playing South Carolina. Can't lose that game.
And that's why. That's why. And this shook some of y'all out there, but it's the truth. That's why we threw down an ultimatum to start the show.
Oh God.
There is no losing to South Carolina. That's not a thing that can happen anymore. It's year three of the Pruitt era. I'm not going to hold the sins of Butch and Dooley against him, but it is year three. You lost to Georgia State and BYU last year. It can't happen again, man. We gave you a mulligan. You don't get another one. You go out there and you take care of business against Columbia, because that's what a competent football coach does. It's what Philip Fulmer did on the reg. You go out there, you take care of them, and you come back and you play the next game. Or, if you're not a big boy football coach, if you're in over your head, if this program is headed to FPI, ESPN FPI, says 3-7. They've got it right the last 2 years. If that's what it is, this radio station, we're going to cover winners. We're going to talk about something that people want to talk about, something that brings joy and happiness to people's lives. Titans Radio, Titans Fan Run Radio. We flip the switch at midnight Saturday. Choice is yours, Tennessee. Choice is yours. Go out there and do what you're supposed to. We don't have to have this conversation. Drew, you're liking Titans Radio. And you're wearing orange right now. You're all full. You could make the switch right now.
I'm ready for it. I think it's a great idea, personally.
You need to shut up. That's what I think.
Titans Fan Run Radio. Let's go.
What's next? You're going to give Titansville a segment every week?
That's not a bad idea.
Titanic William. Oh, that's a great
segment.
Idea.
A segment? That's my new sidekick. I mean, if you and Trey are out.
Who said I was out? You run me off that easy.
The Titans Drive. The Titans Drive, presented by Nissan, with your host, Russell Smith, and Titans Bill.
Good God Almighty.
Taking Knoxville Radio by storm. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, and your sausage will be burning. Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, more of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us.
The drive.
Talking with somebody who is over at UT in, I guess you would call it like a quality control role or something like that during the Butch Jones era, and Jakob Johnson was over there. And it's interesting to see. I mean, that guy, how long has he been? It's like 5 years in the league. He's just kind of hung around. And there he is catching a touchdown on Sunday Night Football last night for the New England Patriots in a close game and everything, finally found a position. Could have found a position here at UT. I think the easy thing, and certainly there's probably some truth to this, but the easy thing is, Butch Jones, gonna, look, you know, guy in the NFL catching touchdown passes, Butch Jones, that whole thing. But I was talking to somebody who's not a Butch Jones fan by any stretch of the imagination and said, listen, when that dude was here, like, you talk about somebody who couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. Like, all he could do was just see ball, hit ball. Like, could not play within a scheme. Like, they thought about playing him in H-back and couldn't catch, couldn't run routes, couldn't catch, couldn't play was the thing. And I remember when Butch Jones, that class, when Jakob Johnson signed, I remember there was a press conference. They were and Butch Jones like brought all the recruits up there. It was a pretty good class, and he was like, "Jakob Johnson is the alpha male of the class. He's gonna be the leader.
It's critical."
And it was like, "Wow, well, you know, this is before we knew Butch was the fraud that he was." And he was like, "Wow, like Jakob Johnson, this dude's gonna be good, right? We thought he's gonna be a linebacker originally when he got here, and." Played linebacker some, but couldn't get on the field. I think he played some special teams. He, I think he played H-back some, but he's just that guy that – there's guys like that on the team right now. There's always a couple of guys who just – they move positions back and forth, and they never stick anywhere, and they never do anything. And that was Jakob Johnson. In the Butch Jones era, he was one of several of those guys. Just, is he playing?
Fell through the cracks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he fell through the cracks. He's playing offense 1 week, defense the next week, whatever. And then all of a sudden, his 4 years are up, and he's gone. But what you never see with those guys happen is, like, 5 years after they're gone, they're playing in the NFL meaningful minutes in a meaningful role. I noticed him in their first game against the Dolphins. He plays a lot. He's a key guy for them. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Which goes, like, it goes to show you probably should never give up on guys that can't. And if I'm looking at this roster, and there are a couple of guys right there, but the one that jumps out to me that we need this year, we're going to need, is Princeton Fant. He's probably going to be the starting tight end Saturday. Hasn't really done much of anything in 4 years here. And I want to say
– Warren snaps.
Yeah, I want to say he played defense, some receiver, H-back, tight end, fullback. He just hasn't found a home. And now all of a sudden after the Pope injury, yeah, I think Jacob Warren is going to play, but I think Fant is going to play first and do some different things. But – we're going to find out. It's one thing when you're like the third or fourth string tight end like he was last year and you come in special situations. Maybe you catch – I think he caught, what, two or three passes last year. And you play a little bit. But it's different when you've got to be the guy out there and you've got to block a 260-pound lineman 50 times, however many snaps you're out there. A little bit different.
Sure it is.
Maybe he can be Jakob Johnson, but actually end up making an impact late in his career in college.
I think you're going to see two. I think you're going to see two tight ends Saturday. I think Jacob Warren actually gets a lot of looks too. Not a lot, but five or six looks across the middle, something like that, picking up some yardage for Tennessee. It'll be big for Tennessee, in the blocking game. You know, that's what Jim Chaney uses his tight ends for in a lot of ways. So Princeton Fant, that's a good thing because Austin Pope is not going to be around for a while.
Well, opportunity knocks for one Princeton Fant. I think he's from the Mid-State. You go to Laverne or something like that over there, Antioch, something like that in the Mid-State, one of those Murfreesboro communities out there. Hope he does well.
Who do y'all think runs Jumbo Package behind I'll go Crouch in the backfield, maybe T. Hodge.
Is he back yet? I know he's been
calf
strain.
Yeah, he's dealing with the pain.
Bring me the Red Rebel, T. Hodge, running behind the Farragut Admiral, Jacob Warren. Give me a little East Tennessee high school football flavor to my Tennessee football team this year, please. Guys, reading a story, foxbusiness.com. You know, you see these guys in the blue jeans, it's all ripped up. I saw my guy Drew rock these with his Motley Crue shirt last week. Those were you bought those jeans like that? They came all ripped up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you pay these prices and pay no more? Gucci is selling a pair of $1,200 jeans, $1,200 for a pair of jeans that appear to be pre-stained with grass. Presumably for customers with deep pockets who want to pull off that down-to-earth look. They've got $1,200 jeans and then $1,400 overalls with the grass stains on the knees.
Sounds like a steal if you ask me.
Is it funny? Because I've got some Levi's, the same thing, that I cut the grass in yesterday that they've got the grass stains. I'll save you about $11,150. Or you could just drop $1,200 for the Gucci's.
It is Gucci, after all.
It is. I mean, that's high-dollar stuff. That's high-class stuff right there. Mm-hmm. I think, Jeremy Pruitt, you really want to get a jump start on recruiting? You want to have some swag on the sideline? Walk out there in your $1,400 Gucci grass-stained overalls.
All of those and the glasses, he could definitely pull off that new like fashion trend look for sure.
He ain't limping. He's pimping, ladies and gentlemen. You wear those overalls with like one strap undone like Chris Cross back in the day?
Chris Cross make you want to jump.
Indeed they will, Trey Wallace. Indeed they will.
I wouldn't pay that much. The heck no. I wouldn't pay that much money for a pair of damn jeans. It better come with something. I don't know what it will come with. But
they come with grass stains. They're hip.
I don't want to.
They're hip. $1,200. They're the low-waist, wide-leg blue jean pant made from organic cotton. Features
a car payment.
It's a mortgage payment is what it is. Features a green stain at the knee and has been treated, quote, for a stained-like distressed effect, according to Gucci's website. The designer denim also features a vintage Gucci logo label on the back pocket, a dead giveaway.
They want the people that are riding around. The guy riding around in his Lambo is going to get out of his car.
Yeah.
And he wants people to think that he's been working hard in the yard all morning long.
Yeah.
He's been working hard, but in style.
That's the key.
Jeans are made from recycled materials, according to the product description. The Italian designer is taking things a step further with a farm-to-fashion inspired pair of overalls retailing for $1,400 for its men's collection. Got oversized pockets, adjustable straps, and, of course, more grass stains on the knee. I wish I were making this up, man. 2020. People out there out of work. Struggling to make ends meet. Gucci slinging $1,400 overalls with grass stains on it.
It's a good deal.
Stay with us. We got hour number three of The Drive coming up. Top five at five. Fan Run Radio Monday. Game week. The festivities rage on right after this. Stay with us.
The Drive.